Welcome everyone to another episode of the JNR Basketball Podcast. My name is John, and I am running solo today. Just going to do a quick check-in on the NBA playoffs. We are two games into all of the series. The Pelicans and Thunder game is going on just as I start to record this, so we'll update that one last. But I just wanted to kind of go through and check out how they're doing, how things are going, how they match expectations, and just some of the things that I saw. So if you are interested in placing some wagers on these games, check out BovadaSportsbook.com. You're available there to build parlays, to do the money line, to just to bet on these games. So some interesting things can be taken care of there if that is your thing. Let's start with the games near and dear to my heart. That is the Phoenix Suns versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. On the last podcast running, I made our predictions. I did not think that the Suns would be capable of beating the Timberwolves in this series. And sadly, that is what it is looking like thus far, as Minnesota has a 2-0 lead over the Suns. The first game was ugly. The final score was 120-95. And the Suns just got outplayed in literally every capacity of the game. The biggest just being the physicality of the Timberwolves. The Suns just could not match their intensity. They didn't really, didn't look like they had much of a game plan. Their shooting was not great. It was not a fun game to watch. I actually texted Ronnie multiple times saying I hate the Suns. But it's not surprising, I don't think, to anyone that watches basketball. I don't think the Timberwolves are going to win the championship, but they're more than capable of beating this Suns team, which just looks bad right now. The second game was closer. The Suns actually had the lead at halftime. It was close until it wasn't close anymore. The Timberwolves won the third and fourth quarter and ultimately won the game. And it really was the same sort of thing in game one, is that they could not keep up with the physicality of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and that allowed them to move on. That allowed them to win this game. So frustrating to see if you're a Suns fan. Not surprising if you've watched the Suns play this year, unfortunately. And the complaining to the referees by both teams in this game is just, it's nauseating. It goes on too much. I'm just tired of it. I really, it's not fun to watch, but that is where that series is. The other series that I have enjoyed watching is the Mavericks and the Clippers. If you watched game one, the score 109-97, not as close as the score dictates. This game was more or less a bloodbath. This allowed the Clippers to take a 1-0 series lead. The Mavericks had quite possibly the worst first half I've ever seen in basketball, specifically the second quarter. In this game, Kawhi Leonard was out, so you would think that would give the Mavericks a big lead or a big advantage. In fact, if you were to look at Bovada prior to this game, after the Kawhi announcement was made, it was pretty much even money. It was a split, it was a coin flip. It was a pretty evenly matched game, but on the court, not so much. The Mavericks scored 30 points in the first half, 8 points in the second quarter. They looked absolutely lost. And this team is an offensive team. They're not going to win games with their defense. Yeah, occasionally you'll see some good defensive plays, but Luka he's not a defender at all. Kyrie has his moments, certainly, but this was ugly. I don't know if I've ever seen a playoff game where a team has scored 8 points in a quarter. I certainly don't want to watch that game ever again, if there is such a game. But the points differential is really the problem here. Kyrie Irving had 31. Luka Doncic had 33. The rest of the team combined, I'm going to try to do some quick math here, 34 points from everybody else. One other player, PJ Washington, in double digits. Somebody on this team needs to step up and be that third option when these guys, you know, anytime Luka or Kyrie went to the bench to get rest, it was just nobody was scoring. It was really, really tough. Now, I like Luka on paper. Watching him play, he's such a whiner. That's going to be a common thread for these playoffs. So that'll be the last time I mention it. It is frustrating to watch for sure. Game two, Kawhi was back based off the terrible performance of the Mavericks in game one. I thought this would be another bloodbath, but it was much closer. And the difference ended up being the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter, the Mavericks outscored the Clippers 31-27, 4 points. So they end up winning this game by 3 points. Kawhi was back, had a good game, but not enough to beat this team, which was refocused. Now, I don't think Jason Kidd is a great coach, and I don't think his coaching is what's going to be the difference in this game. Kyrie 23, Luka 32, but they had two more players in double digits, PJ Washington with 18 and Derek Jones with 10 that helped contribute this. But this is a very one-dimensional team. If they can get past the Clippers, and that's a really big if, I think the Clippers will win the series. I can't see them beating any of the teams in the second round. They really need to beat a defense, and they really need to get depth. And that was their problem last year, right? Kyrie and Luka, fantastic players. But if they're having an off night, no one else on that roster is going to beat you. So that's all tied up. 1-1. Shocking to me. I know the Clippers, I think, are the better team. The Clippers, I still think, will win this series. But the Mavericks, they stole home court with a win there. The very first game of the playoffs was out east. This was the Magic and the Cavaliers. I have not watched any of these games, in full disclosure. They come on significantly earlier in the day for us out in the West Coast. But looking at the scores, you know, the Cavaliers win by 14 game one. They win by 10 game two. It's about what I expected. The Cavaliers lead this series 2-0. They have more playoff experience. They have a more talented roster. They are a better overall team, as evidenced by the seeding, for one, and two, as the results of this. So the Cavaliers are in the driver's seat. They are leading this series 2-0. The games are now going to shift to Orlando. Maybe that'll be some magic for the Magic as they get to their home court. The 76ers and the Knicks, this one bothers me quite a bit. The Knicks have a 2-0 lead. They've won the two games. I am blown away by the stupidity of the Philadelphia 76ers, not just the coaches, but the players as well. And I got a couple of examples here. The first one is in game one. Joel Embiid went down. He rolled his ankle after passing the ball to himself off the backboard and doing a dunk. Looks cool. Love it. Sure. But you're just coming back from an injury. You're in the postseason. They were losing this game. What are you doing? Why are you passing it to yourself off the backboard to do a dunk? 100% wasn't necessary. He's trying to show off. I don't know what he's trying to do, but I just think it was a really boneheaded play. He was back in game two. He didn't miss any time. He was back in this game even after kind of tweaking his ankle. But it's just, you're putting yourself and your team in such a terrible position by making terrible choices. So I'm sure anyone listening to the podcast that has kids, you know, our messages for our kid is always make good choices, you know, make what you think is the best choice. And that's all we can ask, right? And how do I identify good choices versus bad choices? Apparently no one's ever told Joel Embiid that, because that was a terrible choice. That was a stupid choice. And just thankful, if you're a 76ers fan, that he didn't seriously injure himself doing something like that. And then we get to game two, which, if you haven't watched the ending of this game, do yourself a favor. Go back and watch the last minute. The 76ers have a 4-point lead with 1 minute left. Kyle Lowry gets fouled. He gets 2 free throws and he makes 1 of 2. So now they have a 5-point lead with 45, let's say, seconds left. And they finally get a 3 to land. Jalen Brunson finally hits a 3. He was struggling shooting all night. And on his way to that 3, there was some offensive rebounds, which again, 76ers can't let that happen. This is where the stupidity starts. So they get the three. They're now down by two. The 76ers can't get the ball in bounds. So instead of calling a timeout, instead of advancing the ball to midcourt, instead of resetting to allow themselves a chance to get the ball in, Kyle Lowry does kind of a shovel pass to a double-teamed Tyrese Maxey, who falls, loses the ball. The 76ers coaches were trying to call a timeout when Maxey did have the ball. I don't think he ever really possessed the ball long enough for a timeout to be recognized. He lost it pretty quick. Josh Hart steals it from him as a result of this. No fouls called, which I honestly don't think there was a foul. I think it was a bad inbound pass. He was double-teamed, and he just lost the handle on the ball. DiVincenzo misses a three. Offensive rebound. New York Knicks get it right back to him, and he hits the second three to take a one-point lead over the Knicks. The Knicks take a one-point lead at this case, and now they have to try to scramble to get a shot. Now they call their last timeout. They advance the ball. Can't get a shot to land. They foul the Knicks. The Knicks, OG Anunoby, hits two three throws. They now have a three-point lead. And, you know, the last shot of the game, Tyrese Maxey had a great fourth quarter in this game. But somehow the best option ended up being Joel Embiid shooting a 28-foot three-point shot. Again, they didn't have a timeout, so they couldn't set up a play. But there's... you got to be better than that. And I blame Nick Nurse and the head coaches for this. Is in these scenarios, you can't count on your players to make the right choices. You have to coach them. They have to know what to do in these situations. Not calling the timeout on the inbounds pass, I think, was a mistake. And then not setting, having a play set up that allows Maxey or... I mean, Joel Embiid can hit threes, absolutely, but I don't want him taking the three at the end of the game. You have much more options to do that. So I was kind of blown away that it ended up in his hands to try to tie the game. It didn't work out. You know, speaking of options, check out Bovada. They have a lot of options available for building your own parlay, or not just basketball, but all the sports are up available on there as well. Let's keep on rolling. Let's talk about the Nuggets and the Lakers. LeBron James, he's so good at basketball, and that's not a shock to anybody, but he can play. He's still playing masterfully at his age. I just don't think this Lakers team is up for the task of beating the world champs. Right now, the Nuggets have a 2-0 series lead. The first game was close until it wasn't. Nuggets win 114-103. The second game was significantly closer, 101-99. LeBron James was two rebounds away from a triple-double. Anthony Davis with 32 points. D'Angelo Russell with 23 points. But the Nuggets, man, the Nuggets are good. In the second game, Nikola Jokic, triple-double with 20 rebounds. 20 rebounds. How is that happening, Anthony Davis? You can't let him get that many rebounds. He played 41 minutes. Aaron Gordon played 40 minutes. Jamal Murray, 39 minutes. These guys, they needed their stars to step up, and they absolutely did that in the fourth quarter. The Nuggets outscore the Lakers 32-20 in the fourth quarter. They came back and won this game in Denver, and now, you know, the series shifts to L.A., where LA has to defend home court. But to let a game like that slip away, that's why they're the world champs. That's why the Nuggets are, in my mind, still the best team, still the team to beat in the West, certainly, possibly the NBA. I've said it before. I think it's going to be the Nuggets and the Celtics. They come back against a very good Laker team in the fourth quarter to win the game. And Nikola Jokic is just, there's nobody else like him in basketball. And you don't know what to do with him as if you're the Lakers on the defensive side. He's just too good. And he's going to get his points. He's going to get his rebounds. Or he's going to beat you with his masterful passing and get other players involved. So they lead that series 2-0. Let's move out east to the Pacers and the Bucks. This is now all tied up. one game apiece, Milwaukee and Indiana. Giannis has yet to play in this series. So if you're a Bucks fan and you're like, whoa, what? How's that happening? Giannis still hasn't suited up for this series. He's facing some injuries. The first game, 109-94, and Damian Miller put on a clinic. He has 35 points in this game. He was just hitting deep shots. It looked like he was playing against kids out there. The biggest disappointment to me in this game, if you were watching it, you probably have the same thing. Tyrese Haliburton, where are you in this game? Why? He has 9 points in this game. Pascal Siakam has 36. He's the reason they won the second game as well. We'll get to those stats in just a second. But Tyrese Haliburton was nowhere to be found. He was giving up good shots to pass the ball to someone that was less open than him. Did he get nervous on the stage? I don't know what he was thinking. It was insanely frustrating watching this game. I don't even care about this series. I probably want the Bucks to win, but I want to see good basketball. And Tyrese Haliburton was not playing good basketball. He looked, like I said, completely lost. He was more concerned about maybe getting an assist than trying to shoot an open shot. It was very confusing. The second game of this series, much better game. 125-108, the Pacers win this game, and they beat the Bucks every single quarter. Their lead just continued to grow and grow and grow. Pascal Siakam, 37 points. He had a great game. Tyrese Haliburton, again, only 12 points, 12 assists, but you had Miles Turner with a much better game, 22 points. As I mentioned, no Giannis yet. Damian Lillard put up 30 again, but they got beat by Pascal Siakam in this game. And you know, this is why you traded for him, right? You can lean on him when Tyrese is not showing. They need him to show up if they want to win this series, for sure. If they want to make it further in the playoffs, they'll certainly need him as well. But Pascal Siakam looks so good. You know he's excited to be in the playoffs. You know Damian Lillard's excited to be in the playoffs. I think I called him Damian Miller earlier. I think that's a baseball player. Old baseball player. Damian Lillard, Dame Time. He's excited to be in the playoffs. And I want Giannis to be back. I want Tyrese Haliburton to be back. I want to see both of these teams at full strength. But that series is tied 1-1, as I mentioned. I think we got two left. We got the Celtics and the Heat. And I thought the Celtics would sweep this series. They have not. They will not. The series is all tied up 1-1. Game one was not a pretty sight if you're a Heat fan. They didn't look good. They were missing a lot of shots. The Celtics were hitting their shots. I mean, they won by 20, but they were up 30 at points in this game. The Heat actually put together a really nice rally in this fourth quarter. They outscored the Celtics 35-23 in the fourth quarter, and at times made it pretty interesting. They forced Jason Tatum and Porzingis and Brown to probably stay in the game longer than they should have, but they were playing very carefree basketball in the fourth quarter, and the Heat 100% took advantage of that. And Eric Spoelstra is a good head coach. I just kind of crapped on Nick Nurse, but Eric Spoelstra is a good head coach. So whatever message he gave his team after a miserable fourth quarter, 14 points in the third quarter, for the Miami Heat. You thought that was bad until the Mavericks did their 8. But whatever message he gave to them, the message was received loud and clear. They win the fourth quarter in game one, ultimately lose the game, but they took that momentum and they used it to win game two. So the Celtics had the lead at halftime. It was a close game. It was not a blowaway like it was in game one. It's also worth noting that Jimmy Butler did not play in game one. He did not play in game two either, so he is still out, which part of the reason why I thought the Celtics would sweep so easily, but they kept it close, and it was halftime adjustments. We saw this last year in the playoffs, and I think it's going to become a common theme. They outscored the Celtics 27-18 in the third quarter to take the lead away. and they hold on to it. They outscore the Celtics again in the fourth quarter, end up winning by 10. You had 20 points from Bam, Tyler, and Caleb Martin for the Miami Heat in this game. Absolutely needed that, especially with Jimmy Butler gone. Tatum, 28. Jaylen Brown, 33 points. Kristaps Porzingis had himself a miserable game after having a fantastic game one, by the way. He only has 6 points in game two, only played 30 minutes. And yeah, it's interesting to see such a difference in him and this Miami Heat team in general coming back, bouncing back in a big way and stealing home court advantage. You know, I still think the Celtics are the better team. I still think the Celtics will win. This is their wake-up call, maybe. But man, oh man, it's so fun when the Heat get rolling like this and just play the upset. And they have a chance to be a huge upset in this series if they can somehow win this series without Jimmy Butler. I don't have an update on him, but it's interesting that they're doing so well without him in the lineup. Their next game is they play today. Today is Wednesday. Their next game is not until Saturday. Wow, that is quite the break there. So check out BovadaSportsbook.com if you want to see the latest line on that game. I have to imagine it looks a lot different than it did for game two, especially being in Miami, especially now that they've proven that they can beat this team without Jimmy Butler on the road in Boston, no less. I would be shocked if they're not the favorite for game three. I don't think they'll win game three. I think Boston's smart enough to come back. The only other series we haven't talked about, as I mentioned, it's Wednesday evening here on the West Coast. The Pelicans and the Thunder, that game is actually, game two is in the second quarter. The Oklahoma City Thunder lead this series 1-0. They win game one in what was a very fun game to watch. Now, remember, Zion is out. He will not play at all this series, if the stories are to be believed. But the Pelicans showed that they are a really fun team to watch. Both teams scored 17 points in the first quarter, so it was tied 17-17 after one. Both teams scored 26 points in the second quarter, so we are tied at halftime. The Oklahoma City Thunder take a 6-point lead into the third quarter, but the Pelicans outscore them in the fourth to make it a very interesting game. And when their shooters are on, their shooters are on. Trey Murphy looked fantastic in this game. CJ McCollum had a much better game than he did in the play-ins. He scores 20 in this game, but SGA, 28 points. Jaren Williams, 19, and Chet with 15 and 11 rebounds. You know, we saw this last year with the Thunder, and I don't know. I didn't watch the Thunder close enough to know if it changed. But last year, any team that was playing the Thunder was going to have a fantastic rebounding game. Jonas Valanciunas, sure I'm saying that wrong, 20 rebounds against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So maybe that's still true. Maybe the, you know, with Chet not being a typical center that plays in the paint a lot, he's probably not getting the rebounds that you would expect from those guys. Looking at this game tonight, Valanciunas has 5 rebounds at halftime compared to Chet, who has 3 rebounds. So this hasn't been a very heavy rebounding game. We're about to go to halftime there. The Thunder have a pretty substantial lead. They're winning by 14 points. We're about 45 seconds away from halftime. So they're in good position to win this game. Certainly not as close as game one was. But again, the Pelicans are a fun team to watch. They are without Zion. I still think the Pelicans will lose this series to the Thunder. I think the Thunder are too good. But if you have a difference of opinion, that's great. Let us know on the JNR fan line. Check out the podcast description for the number. Leave us a message. Tell us why we're wrong. Tell us who you think is going to be the NBA champion. Or put your money where your mouth is. Go to BovadaSportsbook.com and place some wagers on what you think and take advantage of my foolishness if you think it is truly foolishness. But the playoffs are here. They're off to a fantastic start. There's been some great games. So that New York Knicks 76ers game, the way that that game two ended is definitely worth going back and watching. And I think the 76ers made just so many mistakes at the end of that game that the Knicks were able to take advantage of. Were there some bad calls? No. They challenged the Kyle Lowry foul towards the end of the game. I think he probably really did foul. They had a foul to give, so it's not the end of the world. I don't know that I waste the time out and challenge that there, but they did. That series is going to be fun as it shifts to Philadelphia. And now the 76ers are they're in desperation mode, and they're one of the best teams in the playoffs. They're a 7 seed, but you know they had injuries to deal with. So I'm very curious to see what that will look like. What series are you most excited about? What series do you think is going to go 7 games? At this point, I would say the Pacers and the Bucks maybe are the best chance to go 7 games. Everything else looks like it's going to be pretty wrapped up pretty soon. So obviously time will tell. We have a whole slate of games coming up. We have games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's playoff time, so there's literally a game every single night of the week. Check out your local listings for any games that are of interest to you. Check out BovadaSportsbook.com for any wagers that you might want to build. Build a parlay. Let us know what your secret sauce is if you have some success with that. And we'll be back a little bit later this week or early next week talking about where those series are standing, how things are going. Hopefully, I'll be joined by Ronnie so you don't have to listen to my voice the whole time. But thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.